Good evening. It's good to be with you again this evening. Tonight, as far as the lesson's concerned, we're going to continue on the series I started back. This will be the fifth of the series, the home studies that we've been talking about. Just to review real quick again, I'll be going over certain verses, 15 in total, whether it be a single verse or a set of verses, and ask questions afterwards, yes, no questions, true, false, thought questions, and so forth. They're not meant for you to answer out loud again. It's for you to answer in your own head based on the verses that we read with those. Just a quick review of a couple of things. It's been a while since I've done those, things we've gone over in the past. But we had talked about that when we are validly baptized, it was our last lesson, we are buried into the death of Christ where he shed his blood. And that's true. That's what happens when we do that. When we are validly baptized, we rise to walk in newness of life. And according to the verse, that is also a true statement. If we walk in the light after baptism, the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us of our sins. That's also true according to the verses. And with that, let's begin tonight's lesson. And the main question is, so we've done these things, which church should you be a part of? So a set of questions, 15 questions or so, based on which church. And we'll begin in the book of John. Chapter 17. And I'll read verses 20 and verse 21. Jesus speaking here says, I do not ask for these only. He's praying here. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, based on this scripture here, Jesus prayed that his followers would be divided into several splinter groups. Is that true or false, based on this verse? Of course, in the world, what do we see? We see several groups. But based on this scripture, Jesus did not pray for that. He prayed for unity, all to be one with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1. Verses 10 through 12. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Now, based on this scripture, was God pleased that these followers of Jesus were divided? Yes or no? And this is Paul doing the writing here. Question, division is caused by following men instead of Jesus. Is that true or false? Thought question. In light of these verses, how do you think Jesus feels about all the differing churches today? You know, he prayed for unity, and we don't see that at all. And so, how does Jesus feel about that? Question. To please God, we must be of the same mind. True or false? And the world doesn't seem to see that. But Jesus prayed for that, and he wanted that. Romans chapter 6. Verse 17. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version, which says the standard of teaching there. But fill in the blank here. To be of the same mind, followers of Jesus must obey from the heart the what of teaching. Based on your version there. Mine, of course, says standard. It could be form. A form of teaching. That standard of teaching. Simple question. I want to follow Jesus, yes or no? Everyone has to answer that question at some point in their life. Question. The key to religious unity for all followers of Jesus is to obey from the heart the form or pattern or standards I read here of New Testament doctrine or teaching. Is that true or false? Matthew chapter 16. Verse Verse 18. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus promised to build one church. True or false? He told you he was going to build my church. Not my churches, but my church. So he promised to build one church. True or false? Does Jesus have all authority today in all things? Yes or no? If everyone submitted to the authority of Jesus and everyone obeyed the same pattern of teaching, would there or could there be many differing churches today? Yes or no? It's very simple. If we all follow what Jesus taught, only what Jesus taught, is it possible that there could be separation today of churches? Is it possible to submit to the authority of Jesus but not follow his words? Yes or no? Or is that the same thing? To identify the church that belongs to Jesus, we must go back to the what testament? The New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we have a definition of church there, the body. Go to our scripture reading, chapter 4, verse 4, about this body. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Chapter 5. Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and his himself its Savior. So another definition there for us. So with that, Christ is the head of the church, which is his what? It's his body. So when you read about Christ's body, it's referring to the church being the people, the assembly and so forth, congregation. There is one body, the church, true or false? True or false? Christ is the Savior of that one church, which is his body. Could you be saved as a member of a church that Jesus never heads nor saves? Yes or no? Can you be saved in that particular body? You have to be in that body, that one body, Jesus' body. That's the one he's the head of, and that's the one he saves. John chapter 4. Verse 23 and 24, Jesus speaking here. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Question, true or false? True worshipers must, underline must, worship God in spirit and truth. True or false? Flat out says that in the verse. Thought question. What does the word must mean to you? And think about that. Is there a choice in that? When I tell you must do something, when God says you must do something, we're specifically told here you must do this, is it optional? Are there circumstances where it's not optional? Or is it a must? Question, only by following the New Testament pattern can we worship in truth, true or false? Only by following the New Testament pattern can we worship in truth, true or false? Again, those things, that pattern we find in Scripture, the New Testament, not the Old Testament. It's there for our learning. But in the New Testament, those examples we have, those commands we have, and so forth, we have to follow that pattern that was given to us. And if we all do that, there's only one way, one answer, right? We'd all be in unity in those things. Mark chapter 7. Verses 6 through 9. And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandments of God and hold to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition." Question: worship according to the doctrines of men is false and it's worthless. True or false? In other words, what's it going to get you? Are you spending your time wisely if you follow the doctrines of men? Question: to worship in spirit and truth, we must, that word must again, follow the New Testament pattern. That's all we know. God told us everything we need to know. This word's complete. God told us even how to worship Him. And we have no say-so where He has not said. God must speak for us to know what to do. He's given us that pattern of things to do. Matthew chapter 26. Again, we've said many times, this Word of God we have, this Bible, is complete. God didn't forget anything. He didn't leave anything out. He didn't make a mistake. If He wanted us to know something, He tells us those things. Otherwise, we don't need to know it. And we don't need to do it. Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?'" Turn over to verse 26 through 29. "Now as they were eating," after they said this, "now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Question: Jesus used unleavened bread and fruit of the vine in his Last Supper. True or false? Question: those who follow the New Testament pattern, those things that's revealed to us, will also use unleavened bread and fruit of the vine in the Lord's Supper. True or false? Acts chapter 20. Verse 7. "On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight." Question: true worshipers came together on the first day of the week, being Sunday, to break bread or eat the Lord's Supper. True or false? Churches today that break bread, take communion, daily, monthly, or quarterly, are following the New Testament pattern. True or false? Are they following the pattern based on what we're told here, how often they met? Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 19. "Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart." True or false? Singing is a part of the New Testament pattern in worship, according to this verse. True or false? Again, we only know what God tells us. Did He say anything else at all in that verse? Did He say playing? He said singing. Question: if the New Testament does not authorize the use of mechanical instruments, again, it does not authorize the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship, then they cannot be used in worship in truth. True or false? Again, if God didn't say we could use it, can we use it? Regardless, if He says we cannot use it, did He say we could? In this verse, we're told to sing. Question: we can trust what the inspired writers wrote because it's both accurate and complete. True or false? Is this Bible complete? Is it accurate? Key word being complete, total, nothing left out, nothing forgotten, no mistakes. Matthew chapter 23. Begin at verse 8. We'll be reading 8 through 10. Jesus speaking here says, "But you are not to be called Rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ." Question, true or false, leaders in the Lord's church are to be called Father. We know the major denomination that does that. That true or false, can we call leaders in our church Father? Titus chapter 1. Let's begin at verse 5 and read through verse 9. "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it." Question, elders, bishops, overseers, in the one church that Christ founded must meet specific qualifications, true or false? Are there qualifications? Whole list of them right there. Read that word must several times in certain things. Question, God commanded that bishops in his church must be men who are married and have children, true or false? Question or thought question, how do you feel about all the different churches today? 1 Timothy. Chapter 2, we'll begin at verse 8 and we'll read through verse 12. "I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. I likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly in all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet." Question, the men are to teach and pray in public. Is that true or false based on this verse or this set of verses? Are women permitted to take a public lead in church? Yes or no? People tell us times have changed, don't they? But we only have what's been revealed to us, and God's Word doesn't change. Question, the true church will have women preachers today. True or false? We see that a lot. Galatians. Chapter 3. Verses 26 and 27. "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Question, when a person is properly baptized, he is baptized into Christ. True or false? The verse plainly says that. If you have not been properly baptized, are you in Christ? Yes or no? Again, it's that act that puts you into Christ. And if you've not done that act correctly, properly, then you're not in Christ. Question, if you have not been properly baptized, has the Lord added you to his church? Yes or no? Don't forget, we don't join a church. We are added. Can you be saved outside of the Lord's church, the Lord's body? Yes or no? regardless of your social or religious background, you have the opportunity to be one of all the others who are in Christ. True or false? Regardless of what you've done, you're standing in life, do you have an opportunity to be in Christ through baptism? Hebrews chapter 10. This is question 15, and then I'll have some review questions after that. Let's begin at verse 23 of Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. The New Testament pattern specifically forbids Christians to forsake the assembling to themselves together. True or false? Would you be pleasing to God if you were born again in baptism and didn't remain faithful in all things? Yes or no? Would Jesus want you to worship with a church that does not observe his supper each Sunday? Yes or no? There's many congregations, not necessarily Church of Christ, but denominations that observe it monthly and seasonally. But would Jesus want you to worship with a church that does not observe that each Sunday? Would Jesus want you to assemble with the church that believes and teaches that one is saved before baptism rather than at the point of baptism? Yes or no? Review. The New Testament, and this is a review of other lessons as well. The New Testament pattern that we've been given concerning salvation, talking about salvation, includes the following. Those are true or false. It includes belief in Jesus, the Son of God. You have to do that? Have to have that. It includes repentance of sin. True or false? Because some say you can be saved, and you're always saved, which means there's not really repentance there because you go on to do the same things you were doing. It includes confession of Jesus before men. True or false? It includes baptism by immersion in water for the remission of your sins, for the forgiveness of your sins. True or false? And it also includes thereafter walking in the light and doing those things you're supposed to be doing. True or false? Another question. The New Testament pattern concerning the church includes the following. Is Jesus the head and savior of only one church? Or is he the head and savior of multiple? No one can join the church of Christ, but you're added by the Lord when properly baptized. Is that true or false? Again, no one can join the church, but you're added to the church by God. Is that true or false? Because we see a lot of people who think they're saved first and they're baptized to join a specific church. And that's not the way it works. When we're baptized, we're added by God to that one body. Again, about this pattern, bishops or elders in one church must be married men with children. True or false? Men, not women, are to take the lead in public prayer and teaching in the assembly. True or false? Religious titles such as father or reverend are condemned by Jesus. True or false? Another question. The New Testament pattern concerning worship, things we do here, includes the following. The Lord's Supper is observed every Sunday, not daily, not monthly, not quarterly, but every Sunday. True or false? Unleavened bread and fruit of the vine are used, no more, no less. Those are the emblems that we use. The music in worship is singing and not playing. We're not told to play. If God wanted us to play, He would have told us. Question. Only the church which conforms to the New Testament pattern could be the one church Jesus established. Again, only the church which conforms and does those things that's seen in that pattern, only those, that one church could be that one church that Jesus established. True or false? Would you want to be a part of a group or church which violates the New Testament pattern in any way? Does something extra, leaves something out. Would you want to be a part of that? And that's our lesson for this evening. Is there anyone here this evening who